Translation. Such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Supersoul, knowing that I and the Supersoul are one, remains always in me in all circumstances. Purport. A yogi who is practicing meditation on the Supersoul sees within himself the plenary portion of Krishna as Vishnu. With four hands holding conch shell, wheel, club and lotus flower. The yogi should know that Vishnu is not different from Krishna. Krishna in this form of Supersoul is situated in everyone's heart. Furthermore, there is no difference between the innumerable Supersouls present in the innumerable hearts of living entities. Nor is there a difference between a Krishna conscious person always engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna and a perfect yogi engaged in meditation on the Supersoul. The yogi in Krishna consciousness, even though he may be engaged in various activities while in material existence, remains always situated in Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.1.8.7 of Srila Rupa Goswami Nikhila Svapyamastasu Jivan Mukta Samushyate. A devotee of the Lord, always acting in Krishna consciousness, is automatically liberated. In Punarada Pancharatra, this is confirmed in this way. Tikala Jnana Vachine Krishne Cheto Vidayacha Tanmayo Bhavati Chipram Jivo Brahmani Yojayet. By concentrating one's attention on the transcendent form of Krishna, who is all-pervading and beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna and then attains the happy state of transcendental association with Him. Krishna consciousness is the highest stage of trance. Ah, yeah! I'm sorry, I was so surprised because I thought Navina Nirada would be in Srila Mayapur this time, so when he came in I was, what? Krishna consciousness. So let us start again. Krishna consciousness is the highest stage of trance in yoga practice. This very understanding that Krishna is present as Paramatma in everyone's heart makes the yogi faultless. The Vedas, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.21, confirm this inconceivable potency of the Lord as follows. Ekopisan Bahuda Yo Vabhati. Although the Lord is one, He is present in innumerable hearts as many. Similarly, in the Smriti Shastra it is said, Eka Eva Paro Vishnu Sarvavyapina Sankshaya Aishwaryad Rupamekam Cha Suryavat Bahudeyate. Vishnu is one, and yet He is certainly all-pervading. By His inconceivable potency, in spite of His one form, He is present everywhere, and the sun appears in many places at once. Yes. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachyade Shatanine Jaya Sri Krishna Rekhanda Ramamitanda Shri Adhika Krata Shri Vashanda Shri Vashanda Shri Vashanda Shri Vashanda Such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Super Soul, knowing that I and the Super Soul are one, remains always in me in all circumstances. In this verse, the transcendental vision of a perfected yogi or devotee has been described. He sees Krishna within everyone. Srila Prabhupada quotes a very interesting verse in the Narada Pancharatra to describe the result of such a transcendental vision, that is, to see the Lord in everyone and seeing Him working also behind everything. And he says, by concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Krishna, who is all-pervading beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna, then attains the happy state of transcendental association with Him. When we manage to become Krishna consciousness in our lives, a very, very interesting phenomena happens, and that is that we totally change our lives. I would like to give you a little example from our own life of what happens when your vision changes. I remember not long ago giving a class in our Cologne temple. There were two people in the back who talked all the time. I heard all the time this talk going on, and I must say, after some time I became very disturbed. This is so impolite. We are trying to speak about Krishna and people want to listen. They came from far, and even some paid a little entrance fee, I believe. So these people are so impolite, they talk and they disturb. But at the same time, it was one of those situations where I felt it was not good to just say stop talking. So finally, after the lecture, I left the temple room, and this person came to me with a smiling face and said, "Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful, inspiring lecture." I looked, I thought he wanted, he was totally disturbed by what I said, and therefore, you know, just created this disturbance himself. But he said, "No, thank you. You know, I brought my friend with me. He's from Korea, and I had to translate every word. And my friend is now so inspired, he wants to start chanting. Thank you very much, Maharaj." So what I had seen previously with a certain vision, that here were people who created a disturbance, now with this new vision, no, here were people who came to be inspired in Krishna consciousness and thought it was worthwhile to translate it, and so that the person from Korea also became interested. they were disturbing. I thought, wow, what nice people. Finally someone says, okay, it was inspiring, you know, after, and I felt, yes, encouraged to go on giving lectures in Krishna consciousness. The same thing, by seeing it differently, created a different reaction. This is what happens when you develop a Krishna conscious vision. The same world, the same people in it, the same person. But if you see Krishna everywhere and moving everything, that is Krishna consciousness. Then you are on the different level of perception. Then you are elevated in Krishna consciousness. And as it is said here, you will have attained the happy state of transcendental association with Him, Krishna. So, a devotee who is in this happy state of Krishna consciousness, we could say, then he does no longer become disturbed by the world and the different miseries in the world. Such a devotee becomes very dear to Krishna, and Krishna feels a need or inspiration to take care of such a devotee. It is described in the Gita, Ananyas Chintayantumam Ye Jana Pariyupasate Tesham Nidyab Yoktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahabhyam. I want to read to you from directly from the translation. But those who always worship me, Krishna, with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, seeing Krishna, meditating about it, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So when Krishna said this, Arjuna had a question. I will read to you now what does not appear in the Bhagavad Gita itself, but which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has seen. See, these great devotees like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and so on, they can enter the divine pastime of the Lord, and they see this pastime from a new or different angle, and therefore give additional information. You will often find this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where a verse appears. For instance, this verse from the Bhagavatam appears there, and then after it, you see how Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami makes almost like an elaboration of these words. For instance, there is this verse in the Bhagavatam where it says that Krishna does not give to his devotee something which entangles the devotee more in material life, although the devotee may want this. For instance, a devotee may want to marry, and boom, the marriage arrangement explodes. And it doesn't happen. This sometimes happens in movement. Or a devotee might wish to go to India. I can't give examples, and maybe go to an astrologer and learn the art of astrology in order to find to make a living or foretell the future or whatever. And Krishna may see it is not good for this devotee and therefore not fulfill this desire. This is how this is explained in the Bhagavata verse. Now Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, you find him all of a sudden speaking in the voice of Krishna. Krishna says, I am not a fool. The same verse. I know what is good for my devotee. I am an experienced man. I see that this is not good for my devotee, and therefore not wishing that he gets entangled in material life, I don't give him this. And he makes a long explanation. Now, you should not think or doubt that this verse of Krishna Das Kaviraj is not what Krishna spoke. You should not think, oh, it's not in the original Bhagavatam verse and all of a sudden we find it. No, this is the Bhakti, the Bhakta Darsha, the vision of the devotee who sees the Leela from a different perspective and therefore gives an additional information. Now, Arjuna had a doubt. What? you carry for the devotee, isn't that a little troublesome? And Krishna says, no, no, I carry for them just like the householder, or I care for my devotees just like the householder who takes care of his children. Krishna says, this is not a burden for me to take care of the devotees. I take care of the whole universe, no problem for me. I do it out of love and affection for my devotee, Krishna says. I carry this burden to take care of them. Just like, he gives a very interesting example. He gives the example of a lover. Some man who is in love with his lady, who helps her crossing a river. You know, he says, come on, jump on my back. And then he carries her through the river. And he feels great pleasure. Oh, she's on my back. He talks pleasantly, see the world, see the river. It's very empty, you know, and so on and so forth. He doesn't consider this a burden at all. That's the same man. Would carry how much 80 kg bag? I don't know, maybe that's a little much. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. Maybe it's a little heavy. Okay, let's say 78 kg. The same man carries 78 kg through a violent stream, you know, Schnellfließenden Fluss, huh? And he always, the feet are paining, you know, and it's very dangerous, difficult for him. Krishna makes this point, just like a lover takes pleasure in carrying his beloved over the river, I take great pleasure, no problem for me, to take care of my devotees. He says like this. Then Arjuna, a little later, he develops another doubt. Arjuna has always these questions which make Krishna consciousness so sweet or so nice. I would like to find this for you. He says, Krishna, but this that you take so much care of your devotees, it means you are partial. Partiality is considered from the transcendental platform a weakness. If I can only like those who are in my family and do not like others who, the bigger family of the human beings, it's called Vasudeva Kutumbaram, the family of Vasudeva, the family of Lord, the Lord, that means I'm in the material concept of life. Huh? Why should I only love someone who has appeared in my family? I have two brothers, and not have any affection for others who are the brothers and you know, who are the part and parcels of Krishna. To just see the small family, that's a weakness. Like Dhritarashtra, he was prepared to commit any sin in the universe in order to benefit his family members, although they were total rascals. They were as good as urine, so to say. There's a weakness. It's rather not to think only of one's own people. That's party spirit, that's sectarian, and so on and so forth. So Arjuna says, why do you only take care of your people, the devotees? That's a weakness. And Krishna says, no. You must know that I take care of everyone. every one of us, even the non-devotee, drinks the water, which is, Krishna says, I am the taste and water. Even the non-devotee takes the air which is supplied by Krishna. Even the non-devotee hears sound. Krishna says, I am that sound in the ether. Even the non-devotee can develop a big computer firm like Apple or Macintosh. And Krishna says, I am that ability in man. No? So Krishna takes care of everyone, made yudhim, but the devotees, they respond differently to Krishna's mercy. It's just like two different types of trees who grow on the bank of the river. One produces poisonous trees, poisonous fruits from the water. The other tree produces sweet apricots, or peaches, or mangoes, if you so want. Everyone is supplied by Krishna, the devotee and non-devotee alike. But the devotee, he worships Krishna with the gifts which Krishna gives to him. So Krishna makes the point that it's not the fault of the river of the water that the tree produce differently. It's due to the nature. It is due to the nature of these different living entities that they make something differently out of it. And so therefore Krishna says, I reward the devotee, I give everything, everyone equally, but my devotees, he gets a special treatment, so much so that even if he commits the most abominable action, if he is still determined to serve me, I do not reject him. Rather, he is still to be considered saintly. Mm-hmm. So, I personally think that this is a very, very nice point which we can understand from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is so pleased with someone who offers devotional service that even if this person should commit the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. That's the verse. So Arjuna, he again has a question. He says, Krishna, I can accept if a devotee serves you totally, if he is engaged in really worshipping you, that you consider him something special. But what if he is doing nonsense? Then he is not a sadhu. And Krishna says, no, Arjuna. He may even for some time to do some glupast, some nonsense. But if his determination is still, I want to serve Krishna. When he's thinking, I'm unable to give up the sinful activity and I'll probably go to hell, but I never will give up my service to Krishna. Then I think he's a sadhu, he's a saint. Arjuna says, I can't imagine Krishna. His heart is full of lust. He breaks a principle.
Bang.
Don't break principles. He breaks a principle. Aren't his offerings contaminated by these things. So Krishna says, no, he quickly becomes righteous and I accept him because he laments, remembering me again and again. Then he makes a very, very nice point. Now this is very important that you understand. It's not that someone who willfully, absichtlich, commits sins on the thinking that I will be protected by the holy name or by Krishna's mercy. It's not such a person. It's someone who is just a little helpless still, and you know, who is sometimes not so right on. But if he, this devotee, feels lamentation, oh no, alas, alas, there's no other devotee lower than me. I'm a black spot for devotees. Again and again he curses himself and becomes purified due to this repentance. So in this way, such a devotee becomes righteous. I think this is very, very important for us to understand, because sometimes we, due to some weaknesses, have doubts, or we cannot fully engage in devotional service. We may sometimes be on the mental platform, and sometimes we may look to the brahmacharinis with eyes full of desires, and vice versa, and so on and so forth. You know, if this happens, it doesn't mean this is the end and Krishna does not love you any longer. He doesn't care for you any longer. Krishna is very, very merciful. But this is a great B and a great U and a great T. But a devotee must repent. Good morning. This repentance, Bhavoyan, is like a fire which burns away any contamination. Therefore, humility is really the great protective force of a devotee. If you don't, how do you say, if you cannot repent, when you made a mistake, if you cannot be humble, then this mistake will kill you. Once there was a man who was bitten by a snake, Sarpa, Schlange. So, when he was bitten by the snake, he immediately said, "Ah, the snake, I will kill it." And he ran after the snake and killed it and then died. Because after a snake bite, go after the snake, "Ah, the snake, the bad snake, you know," because if you move after this, the blood circulation will push the blood, the poison, I'm sorry, to the heart, and then you will die. The same thing when you do a mistake and you don't do anything against it. You don't see it. You move on having done this mistake, maybe blaming others, and they do under the shoulder supervise. Then the effect of the mistake can cause serious mistakes for you. Therefore be humble. When problems appear, ask yourself, what does this have to do with me? Don't always think that the whole world except you is at fault. Then you will have problems. So, I hope this is clearly expressed. So, a devotee should lament seriously about his fallen state, and this fire of lamentation that will burn all the contaminations in his heart, and he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. So Arjuna is still not really satisfied. He said, I understand that you are saying that he becomes alright. There's no dispute, and a kind of argument, but if he remains sinful, does abominable activities, do we still consider him a sadhu during this life? And now Krishna becomes angry. His eyes become big. Lotus eyes. My devotee never perishes. He says it. Yes, here. Yes, I know, this is quite surprising. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee. And Krishna begins to think a little. She says, I like my devotees very much. And sometimes I don't keep my promise because I like my devotees so much. In the future, I will break my promise. Because in the battle of Kurukshetra, I have promised to not fight. But there will be a time when Grandfather Bhishma will attack you and he will kill you if I don't do anything against it. And then I just will break my bow and I will fight with Bhishma. I will break my vow. And then, you know, so better you say, because I sometimes break my promises in regards to devotees. Which, after all, makes the same point even more strong, that Krishna is very much for his devotee. Now, the reason why I'm telling all this is special. Let me say, I have thought deeply about it. I've only given one class in Heidelberg, and I want to say something which is important to all of you. It's interesting. In spiritual associations, all the people, or 90% of the people, or the people agree, or the devotees agree, 90% about everything. I think if I would say now, do you agree with me that you are soul and not the body? Yes, Ajinana Swami. Do you agree with me that we should take only food offered? Yes. Do you agree that there are four rules and regulations? Yes. 90%. Maybe 10% where you don't agree with me. If I say Vrindavan is the most beautiful space in the universe, you might say, no, Mayapur, I don't agree. So 10% are, you know, where there is maybe not an agreement. So, but although there is 90% agreement, it seems that 90% of the time is wasted between devotees about disagreements. That one thinks very deeply, oh, this person did this to me, or the brahmacharis say the women are so and so, and politics or whatever. You know, although we are generally fully in agreement, so sometimes disturbance come, and so much time goes into thought energy is wasted in these disagreements. This 10% only, small thing becomes very big. In other words, so I feel if we were to more understand how much Krishna likes devotees, we could also take this different view and therefore see all devotees as wonderful, even though they may differ totally. I mean, 100% from us. Remember the example of the devotee who gives a lecture and becomes very disturbed because of some people, but then takes a different perspective. Oh, they're translating. Ooh, yeah.
no problem. Why didn't you talk louder? You know. So by developing this vision that devotees are so dear to Krishna, I think this 90% problem can be solved very easily. See, it's very, very important. Everyone can be given the whole mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu except for the offender against Vaishnavas. This is, becomes very clear when Advaita Acharya asks Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give everyone your mercy except those who offend Vaishnavas. Mahaprabhu says yes. Later, in his Leela, Mahaprabhu forgives Jagai and Madai. And at this time, Mahaprabhu takes on the sins of Jagai and Madai and his whole body becomes black. So then Mahaprabhu asks his devotee, how do I look? You know, he's totally black. Usually he's a manga, he has a golden colored body. His angas are like lema, hema, like gold. And Advaita Acharya jokes, you look just like Krishna. And then after a moment, this black cloud. After a moment, this black cloud disappears from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the reactions of this cloud will enter into all of those. And you know, you must know, Jagai and Madai were the most brutal people in the universe. These reactions to these sins will enter into those who are offending Vaishnavas. That's why it is the first offense in the chanting of the holy name. Everyone can get the mercy except for those who offend Vaishnavas, because they become dark. The heart becomes dark. Don't know if you have ever seen this terrible face of people who offend Vaishnavas. They really look the anti-sect, you know. Like, there's this one person, I remember once, there's this one anti-sect person, I don't want you to even say it. Her name is an elderly lady, and we once in Bonn, we had an partook in some demonstration for against
the Bibel-Lektion,
also, you know, cruelty to animals for Bibel-Lektion, is das the deutsche Wort? Bekannt. So, I remember I was there also, and all of a sudden this elderly lady came to me, just very, very friendly. Oh, Sachinandan Swami, and I felt so bad, and I said, what's your name? Because I didn't know this person. This often happens that someone just comes and maybe addresses me by the name, and I've never seen that person. And she said, Bhaktin Osula. This is our worst enemy. I mean, she will be reincarnated again as a hater of Vaishnavas. She's so... And I thought, Bhakti Ozula, I did not know Bhakti Ozula. There are so many Ozulas in this world. But then I asked the devotees, who is this? She says, Bhakti Ozula. But I don't know, I feel so bad in her, I can't even breathe properly. Oh, Maharaj, Maharaj, you are very naive, this is not just any Osula, this is the Osula. And I said, okay, thank you very much, and I just, whenever I always did not let her come closer than 10 meters, just to breathe properly. It's so Vaishnava Aparata, it's just making the person so, and so bad. Mm. So, my dear devotees, Guru Purnima is appearing, it's approaching fast. First, Nityananda's appearance day comes, can go to Nitai and ask him for his mercy, then Guru Purnim comes, Mahaprabhu's appearance. We can think about this. Is there maybe any area in our life where we sometimes, because a devotee feels differently, acts differently, feels some resentment, gives a reservation against such a devotee. Is there maybe any area of our life where we do not think favorably and in a well-wishing way about Vaishnavas? Is there any area in our life where we are slightly touched maybe with the beginning stages of aparadha? If there is, let us think deeply about it and take care of these areas so that we can take on the full vilast mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sisi Gauri Dai Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandiya Jai. Do you have any questions regarding these points? Ist fest dazwischen gekommen?
Nein.
Du fährst noch?
In einem Moment.
Was?
Eher später.
Später. Gut, ja.
This question has already been asked many times, but since it is in relationship to this subject. Many times devotees who are in responsible positions like leaders and managers, from their service point of view, they may have to judge, they may have to criticize, they may have to chastise sometimes other devotees, younger, equal, even older devotees. And this is a very difficult business, even very dangerous business.
Yes.
And I'd like you to clarify what is the proper mentality for those devotees and what are the...
Yes. The thing is, this is also the thankless task of the guru, Navina Nirala Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada said, my thankless task is to correct you all the time. Managers also, who are in charge of keeping the operations going, the activities going, have to say, this is wrong, Prabhu, to do it like this, and so on and so forth. Sometimes devotees who do this, they don't feel well. Srila Prabhupada, even the spiritual master may sometimes feel, I wish I wouldn't have this work to always have to correct and see the bad things, the problem spots. It is important for someone who has the duty to correct in a helpful way to make advancement, that the devotee can make advancement. There are basically two areas where correction is necessary in spiritual life and in any type of life. One is the character. There may be some character flaws, charakterliche Schwächen may express themselves, and as a result, a devotee might steal or just do things which are a result of bad character. There's another area which is where correction is needed. That is the area, you could say, of competence or competency. That is, a devotee, whether or not a devotee does something wrong. For instance, someone may do, a serious mistakes in, in taking care of organizing the kitchen or the Sankirtan party. So these are two areas where corrections are required. Character, this is mistakes of the heart, and then mistakes of the activities which are done. So a devotee must, this correction is necessary, and we should make those devotees who have the thankless task, we should make it easier for them and accept the correction which they have to go to give in a helpful way. Now for those who have the task to correct, the one whom you want to correct or have to correct has to always feel or know that you're doing it in his or her interest. Otherwise, that person will rebel against you and have a feeling. So if you have to correct, it's very good if you make it clear for what you are correcting, so that the person can understand. And you should let that person know nothing against you, it's nice that you are serving and so on, but look, this, the easy way is to show the consequences to this. I was speaking with my god brothers, how they are correcting their disciples, and many say, well, we show what is the consequences. When you go on doing like this, this will happen. I can show the person, oh yeah, thank you, you opened my eyes. That is easy. That is not a palat or offense when you correct someone with this intention. But it makes it easy for the person that he understands why you do this correction, and for the corrector it's a good opportunity to just check his heart if maybe there's any bad feelings toward that person. It's good if one is neutral and can think of helping, but that one has to practice. That's it. Comes. Good. Yeah?
I have one question. It often happens to me that I criticize also devotees, no?
Yeah.
And then, so the mind was very, very strong with the devotees, no? The principle, sometimes I saw something, I looked very close.
Not the language, just the mind?
The mind. And of course the intelligence said, oh, this is not good to criticize them.
Mm-hmm.
Not good at all, you're not very humble.
Yes, what is your question?
And still, the last word was from the mind, but still he's wrong. What is this?
What is
my position in this case?
Mind is very strong. There's one word for the mind. Ignore. It's a good word. The mind does not always go about in logical ways. He's very illogical, restless, stubborn. If you have any question about correcting a devotee, you should go to others and see, is it just my mind or is there really something to correct? And then it's best if you ask
the senior devotee to correct that devotee who is senior to you. That's more easy. So that's something that the practical things also happen. It's more easy. Yeah? The mind always wants to have his last word over the intelligence. Look, for instance, with lust. You may understand it's only the material elements. But the lust enters the heart, and nevertheless, but it's nice material elements, and I want to enjoy it, and so on and so forth. Yes, the mind always wants to have the last say. So there is no question of any yoga type, also not bhakti yoga, if you don't control the mind by the intelligence. No question. This is something very important which I often have talked about in the past. See, in animals, there is a stimulus, and immediately they react. It just goes, the dog smells something and runs to this. Immediately. There is no space. But for the human being, there is a space. Is it really good now that I run for this sense object? And the human being has this a space between stimulus and reaction. And you have to learn to make the space bigger, 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 bigger in your life. You should not allow that it becomes smaller and smaller. Don't become ruled by your emotions and your feelings. This is all situated in the mind. Become ruled by Krishna conscious knowledge, by the Shastra, by the order of your spiritual master. Then you can change your life. And you can put this in this Trishnaram, in this Freiheit. That's why you are a human being. If you exercise it every day, when something happens, think, what is the best Krishna conscious way to deal with this? I mean, not just act now upon my feelings, you know, my mind. Then you will become a free person. You will always do the right thing. But you have to practice it. It's a muscle. If I would ask you now, what is your name? Hari Veera.
Hari
Venu. So schöner Name. Hari Venu. Die Flöte von Hari. If we would ask you now, my dear Hari Venu, do 20 push-ups. We won't do this because, you know, one day I'm going to do it when I'm with in a public preaching program and no one can get on my case, then I could just get someone from the crowd and say, I mean, then you start doing this. Now, if you have not practiced, I guarantee you, after 9, you will just go up. I can do 25. I practice. And there's an art to do it. Whenever you go up, you have to breathe out. This is the trick. Then you go to prana, then it goes double as much as normal. So if you have not practiced, you will do 9 maximum, and then you will think, well, I missed. You know, just lie on the floor. So this is also, if you do not practice to use your God-given Zwischenraum, your God-given space between what happens to you and how you react, then you will do very poorly. I can guarantee you. Then there will be slight things, and again, and then after, why did I have to act like this again? Oh no, why don't I never learn?
oh, what is wrong with me? So you have to practice like push-ups. You cannot, du kannst nicht mogeln, you know, you cannot skim, I think it's called. You cannot be Krishna conscious if you don't practice it. You may be a great intellectual, a genius, but you cannot mogeln. You have to practice this over the years. To act according to Krishna consciousness, Shastra Shakshu, to see through the eyes of scripture.
Yeah. When Arjuna asks Krishna, aren't you partial when you say that you carry for devotees personally? Mm-hmm. Then Krishna answers, no, I carry for all living entities. But still, there must be a difference between how he carries for devotees, because as he would have emphasized, it's
possible. Yeah, of course. He cares for all, but the non-devotees don't want his. I mean, they don't recognize his care. They take everything, they don't acknowledge it, and they turn against God. Therefore, the devotees, gets special treatment, so much so that even if he commits a mistake, but if he still determined to serve me, Krishna says, I do not reject him. That is, you know, the devotees are in his family. The others don't want to be, but Krishna is so merciful, he nevertheless gives them.
I once heard a statement that the devotee is carried personally by Krishna, and for the other living entities she carries.
That's correct. As Shirodaka Shavishnu, who observes the whole material nature. Yes. For the devotee he cares personally. Yeah, Nabina Prabhu. I want to tell you, because some of you get restless and look at the wristwatch, we will go very fast. Can I just see who has still a question here in the audience? You have one. So we will do it a little faster. Yes?
Many times we can see that as we grow in Krishna consciousness, and as the years go by, a certain advancement, but also sometimes bad habits become instituted in one's life, in one's character. And people tend to build up a certain defense system, especially if they got positions, better managerial positions or even spiritual positions inside the movement.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in their lives, maybe they only tend to answer to God, like our good old friend Saddam. And it becomes...
Is he still living? Must be, huh?
If they haven't shot him.
Yeah.
So, and then it becomes kind of difficult to relate to these personalities, because one doesn't see really that much change.
Mm-hmm.
So...
In that person?
Yes.
You know?
What can we do that we don't fall into the same trap? Because that tendency is there as one becomes more older materially and spiritually.
So you are concerned about your own life, not really how to correct persons who are in that who have that problem, that they think they should not be corrected, or if only by God Himself. You are concerned, how can I...
Both things.
But let me first answer it personally. If you see that you develop into this type, that you become, that you feel my God brothers also don't relate to me any longer, they don't say anything, most probably they perceive in me some unwillingness to be corrected, and they go in the distance, so to say, then, you know, and you recognize, oh yes, I have become proud. Then to break this habit, I would say there are
steps necessary. These three steps are necessary to break any habit. If you want to change anything, you first need to have the desire to do it. If you don't want to change, you will not change. So then you need to have some knowledge. What is it that I'm doing wrong exactly? And then you need to also have alternative ways to act. These three steps are necessary. If you want to correct someone, you know, who is like this, you have to really first create something like a desire that the person says, well, yeah, what is it, could it help me, or, you know, so on. If that desire is not there, this, what you have said, defense system works very strongly. It's called concealment in English. This is concealment. I think I'm getting a German English, an English German dictionary as a birthday present. Then I know how to translate these things, these difficult words. Concealment is irgendwie so Vertuschung in Deutsch. There was. I just heard this very nice example, not just, but a year ago I heard from Lokanath Swami this example of this man. You know, he was sitting like this, and people asked him, why are you sitting like this? And he said, the sun is there, and I'm holding my head in the shadow. There's a tree. Now the actual case, what was there, he had an embarrassing boil, eine peinliche Eiterbeule auf der rechten Gesäßhälfte, on his right side of the popo, and or behind, I'm sorry. So, there, but he did not want to admit it. And therefore he said, I'm sitting here because the shadow... So, this is called Vertuschung, concealment. So many conditioned souls are like this. When you, and we are sometimes also like this. We also are conditioned souls, by the way. At least I have not managed to get out of the category as of yet. So you know, then it becomes difficult for us. Someone who is in this concealment, Vertuschungssyndrom, he's like a sleeping man who does not want to wake up. Have you ever done this? You know, the alarm clock has gone. And I've talked to this in Abenteuer. Sri Vishnupad gave classes about very, very deep classes, and in one of the classes he mentioned respecting others. And I was, you know, I think he would not have anything against it if I said, I was asking him, respecting others, that's all right if they, that can be easily done if they are right and act in a respect worthy way, wenn die also so eine Art handeln, die unsere Achtung würdig ist. That's not so, but it is so difficult if they do something and you just either you think it's wrong or you know it's wrong. And he says, no, nevertheless, if you are not just in the position to correct, respect, it works wonders. If you have a verkorkst relationship with someone, I'm sorry, there are certain words in English which I don't really know. You know, to say bad relationship is not what screwed up, that's a good thing, expression. If you have a screwed up relationship with someone, you can, and you feel you should help or can help, then you first have to build up, you know, your relationship that he has trust in it. Only then you can say something.
And then sometimes you have to show respect. Show respect for things which I really respect. Don't say, how much you can eat, you just ate like an elephant. I was just totally in awe and reverence, if he did something nice for that, you should show respect. It's answered? In Yugoslavian you have the question. So go and find your translator in the corner, and then he can say it. Then we don't waste time. Zanipani Muni, take him. You don't speak English, huh?
Yes,
sir. You do? Right, otherwise you couldn't understand. I'm sorry. Yes, what is your question? What is it?
I'm captured by strong lust, and I don't know how to conquer it.
Strong lust. How to conquer Mr. Lust? Prabhupada called him Mr. Lust. Oh, that's a subject. Read the Brahmachari handbook, I would say. From Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. That's a lust killer. Very good. It is even in Croatian language available. Mr. Lust also lives in Croatia, by the way. He has a visa to all places and all hearts. Brahmacharya, really, is a big subject. In one word, if you want to talk about, I could talk about it for days. I'm Loganath Swami calls me Anattapad. I know how to talk about anattas. That's why. So the unter dem Strich is really, the real subject is you have to develop attraction for Krishna. Then the negative approach, where you just go through the lies of lust. I want to tell you one story, I really have to tell it in this case. Jaimini, a disciple of Vyasadeva, was once sitting in a lecture of his guru, and Vyasadeva said, lust is very dangerous. It is even coming to someone who is spiritually advanced. And Jaimini said, don't believe it. I said, Vyasadeva, you will see. I'm really Brahman realized. These beastly urges, these tierischen Triebe, cannot get me. So yesterday, the next morning, said, I have to go to some town to have disciples there. So he went, and in the evening, I will stay for a week or so. In the evening, Jaimini went to his ashram, and he saw a beautiful saintly lady under a tree. It seemed that the Creator had put all the charms of feminine attraction into her body. And she stayed there and was singing shlokas. So Jani said, you're from what sampradaya? I am from the Shankara sampradaya. Jagat Mitya, this universe is wrong. Only Brahma is true. Brahman is true. Oh, good. And she said, is there some place here nearby I can rest for the night? Oh no, said Jamini. Well, we had the wilderness, but there's my hermitage, my Einsiedelei. You can come and stay. I don't think it's so good. After all, you're sannyasi, and I'm a woman. What will people say? Well, it's all right, no one will see it, and I'm really, I also agree, this world is not the real thing. He was not a Mahavadi Jaimini. So then that lady came and Jaimini said, you sleep in my cottage, and I'm outside somewhere under a tree.
So he slept, but then the most terrible Utgebitter, the rainstorm came, and after some time he knocked. I'm sorry, I'm already sick. If I stay longer outside, I'm going to be totally sick. It's not so good if you come. Saints have warned. Don't talk nonsense. You just, it's tired. We are tired. Let us just sleep. So, anyways, he came in the cottage. Then, after some time, he felt just the vibrations. That he was gripped by the vibrations. And he became totally agitated. Then he couldn't control himself, and he embraced that lady. All of a sudden, in his face, there was this beard. But this lady didn't have a beard. And then he heard the voice of his spiritual master, Jaimini. Oh no! He said, oh no, schrecklich peinlich. It was a very, very embarrassing situation. And it was so, he turned on the light, and Vyasadeva was there smiling. Vyasadeva said, this is how dangerous lust is. That was the lesson for the life. Imagine how peinlich, how do you say it? Embarrassing is the English word. So, Mr. Lust is very dangerous. And you are young. Senses are in their full strength. Is it 25 years maybe? So you have to get a higher taste, really. Otherwise, no chance for you, for anyone. Higher taste is not a luxury. Our restaurant is called Higher Taste. It may not be important for us to eat in the Higher Taste restaurant. We can, the temple kitchen is alright. But the Higher Taste in Krishna consciousness, that is absolutely required. Sonst bist du fit. Otherwise, believe me, I'm speaking from experience. Don't doubt. Don't be careless with your sadhana. Don't be careless with your rounds. Don't be careless in reading and so on. Otherwise, the taste will never come in. Then it's very dangerous. So, let's defy. I'm sorry, I'm getting, I'm losing my English. Yes, please.
You were mentioning that those devotees who engage in simple activities while still preserving their desire to serve Krishna. But what happens when they intentionally go
committing these sinful activities?
No, against the order of the spiritual master. And also, coupled with that, the great principles.
That is extremely dangerous.
But and what happens then when we see, from our point of view, we don't see any reactions, we think everything's fine. What happens when the reactions, when will they come, what will they be?
See, to lose faith in one's spiritual master is the most dangerous thing which can happen in our spiritual life. I'm speaking now of initiated devotees. That is the harbinger of all evil. Starts That's the harbinger of all evil. Yeah. Then what happens to the devotees? Eventually he will leave the path of spiritual life. Simple answer. That's the fact. Let this never happen to us. So always be mindful of this. It's losing face. It's destroying everything. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Gaura Nitāya ki jai, Gaura Prema Hare Hare.
It's Divine Grace Srila Satchinanda Maharaj Ki.